This is the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast on Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut?
I resign.
We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad?
I was so wrong.
Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report Podcast is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, March 28th. 2014 here for another Patriots.com Roster Report Podcast, and we have big news, literally and figuratively. Vince Wilfork, at least according to his own tweets, has reached a deal to remain in New England for at least 1 year, and according to Adam Schefter's report, as long as 3 years on a new deal that, were it to reach its total value, would be 3 years, $22.5 million. Schefter later then said it's essentially a one-year, $8 million deal with $3 million guaranteed. Those are some of the details, and we'll get more of the details from the contract in the coming days and maybe weeks. And there was one report today from the Boston Globe that included among the bonuses is a $500,000 for being on the 53-man roster for any one game this season, which is certainly very likely for Vince, even if he were to be put on PUP and slowed to come back. At some point, he'd be on the roster.
Sure.
And then some other bonuses for play time, as well as being on the 46-man active game day roster. Patriots will save some money on the cap here. Vince was scheduled to have an 11.4, I believe, million-dollar, 11.6 million-dollar cap figure with a salary of 7.5, basically, and some other bonuses. So they will save some money on the cap, but I guess more importantly, from a fan's perspective, the centerpiece of the defense, the captain, one of Robert Kraft's favorite players and people, will remain in a New England uniform, Paul Perillo.
I'm a little conflicted on it.
Conflicted how?
I am. Well, I am very happy when I think about the last part of what you just said. I think he is a Patriot.
For life.
I think he's a special guy here. I don't think that those guys should be taken lightly, and I like it when the organization sort of looks at it that way. Not all players are the same. Vince Wilfork is not the same as every other guy who's run in here. And I like it when a guy like that, they work with him. They give him an opportunity. I think that financially this makes sense for the Patriots. I don't know what the numbers are. Andy just talked about them. We have some reports out there, but we don't know what the cap number is. I am going to say it's a lock certainty that that cap number is going to drop reasonably significantly. They got to be saving at least $3, $4, $5 million.
Correct.
On that 11.6 million. Otherwise, I don't think it's really worth it to do it. So that's good for the team. It's still, to me, a position, and I don't want to sound hypocritical. It's a position that I don't feel is tremendously important in today's game. And I think that you can get that position for cheaper even than what the Patriots are paying. I think it's a good thing overall. That's my main feeling is that sides were able to work it out, and I like that. I wish it had happened like that with Welker last year, and that's kind of why I, in full disclosure, didn't think it was going to happen this year. I just felt like, we had heard this song and dance before, and what was going to make this one different? Well, what made it different was this time they were able to reach an agreement, and looks like the Patriots sort of stepped up and made sure that they didn't let Wilfork get away.
And gave themselves some financial flexibility.
Sure.
By many reports, they were down to about $4 million in change in cap for this year, open cap space. So they will add to that for what they need to do moving forward. They obviously still have some remaining free agents, Ryan Wendell, LeGarrette Blount, who was reportedly visiting the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. DeSean Jackson was released today by the Eagles. If they were
I'm not sure you'll be seeing him anymore.
I don't think so, but they've given themselves some flexibility. Jared Allen is off the market, as some fans know we've lusted after him, maybe to add to the pass rush. But they've given themselves some more flexibility to do whatever they need to do, and that could even be extensions, things with Stephen
Gostkowski, Devin McCourty.
You've been talking
about McCourty.
Correct. So, the business is moving forward. We actually posted a Make Your Case on Patriots.com tonight. Today, Samsonite, Make Your Case. What is the next move, Paul Perillo? What is the next hole, big issue? And I went with tight end, where I feel like they do not have a starting caliber player, assuming Rob Gronkowski is, hindered or when he's not on the field. And you went with?
Pass rusher.
Because Jared Allen's in Chicago.
Still the area that they need to address.
Sean Phillips, we should also mention, went to the Titans.
Signed. And I don't think it's, you know, something they need to go out and they don't need a guy like Jared Allen. I wanted Jared Allen, but they don't have to go out and spend that kind of money, those kinds of resources. I would be perfectly happy if they drafted one fairly early, come May, but I still feel like that's an area they need to address.
I mean, drafting one is fine with me. I think it's a little unrealistic to expect a guy that you draft even 29th, but certainly any further down the draft, to come in and be a significant contributor, a guy that you can rely on in a rotation with Ninkovich.
We've argued about this in the past. We don't need to revisit that.
No, I like to revisit our arguments. It's what we do. But we save those for Tuesdays and Thursdays, PFW in progress,
because
noon to 2.
Because Rob Gronkowski won't be available in week 3 means we have to spend a tight end.
He only misses 2 weeks now every year? Or he's not available half the time.
And then I'll go back with the other part. And if he's not available for half the time, then you're screwed, whether you have a rookie there to replace him or not.
I would just like to have anybody there to replace him. Something we haven't
had. Well,
that's
what you'd get. You'd have a rookie, just anybody.
The rookie who I'm drafting in the first or second round, right. I can guarantee.
But the rookie pass rusher
is better than Matthew Mulligan.
You see how I can argue even when I said I wasn't going to?
Not really. Stats don't back up your arguments, but we'll save that for PFW in progress.
No, all those first round tight ends just absolutely come in and light it up.
No. Guys in the second round light it up, like Rob Gronkowski.
Light it up?
Yeah. He was a productive force on that offense. Had a great rookie season.
So pass rushers haven't had commensurate seasons as that?
I haven't seen him
as a rookie?
No, I haven't seen
40
many.
40 catches, 45 catches?
Not too many.
You haven't seen a pass rusher come in as a rookie and get 10 sacks?
Second round picks? Rarely.
Really?
Rarely.
But you've seen a lot of guys like Rob Gronkowski.
No,
come
but
in
I've
the
seen more.
Round.
I think tight ends have contributed more in the middle rounds of the draft.
And there we hit our loggerheads. We hit our little impasse.
Well, you know, at least I provided Rob Gronkowski. Who's your 10-sack guy late in the second round?
I don't know. Connor Barwin?
Has he ever had 10 sacks?
Brooks Reed? Jabal Sheard?
Have any of them ever had 10 sacks?
Justin Harrell?
Any of them ever had 10 sacks?
I don't know.
I'm not even saying their rookie year.
I mean, I'm sure they've had the commensurate of 40 catches.
Because I think they have to have an impact. And I would argue that I'm not even sure Chandler Jones had a great impact as a rookie pass rusher that we traded up for in the first round.
So
we're going to count on that guy.
Impact is in the eye of the beholder.
No, I think everybody knows impact when they see it. I think everybody knew Rob Gronkowski was an impact tight end.
Well, I think some of those guys, and I don't even know what round all of those different guys were picked in. You put me on the spot. So,
I know, I meant to.
I think if you watch some of those players, they had impact like Gronkowski.
Okay. We'll agree to disagree. But elsewhere, Patriots, Vince Wilfork, the captain, is back in the house. I guess he will happily put his nameplate back on his locker, if you believe that report out of the Boston Herald.
No truth to the rumor that that was part of the guaranteed money he got, was he had to replace that. No?
You made me laugh a little.
Okay.
But yes, he'll restock his locker. He's working out. He's rehabbing. And he will be a New England Patriot. Theoretically, hopefully, at some point this season.
For 2014.
Well, at some point, hopefully, he will be healthy and on the field. Yeah. Elsewhere, Ryan Wendell in limbo.
Big Vince is back. He'll be able to make fun of us.
LeGarrette Blount in Wendell, and he will. And then he'll get mad at us. We'll pick against him at some point, because I'm not going to pick him.
They were talking about that on the radio yesterday.
And he'll be mad. But good to have him. Whatever you think, if he's sensitive or not, it's good to have him on the team, good to have him on the football field, good to have him as a leader. I actually tweeted that yesterday. I think you could argue there's every bit as much value in retaining him as a captain and leader as there is his value as a defensive tackle on the football field. Because one of my questions a little bit about this defense was, who's going to be the edgy leadership type guy if Vince were to leave? And now we don't have to answer that.
Sure.
Don't have to worry about that. For Paul Perillo, this is Andy Hart. Another Patriots.com roster report podcast in the books. Big Vince is back, and we'll be back next Friday with hopefully more big news. For Paul, Andy, out.
This has been the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team, only on Patriots.com.